7flags.com.
It's the story of the president, the professor, and the policeman. That tete-a-tete or meeting between the three will take place Thursday at 6 o'clock at the White House. Yes, indeed, the controversy still lives on. Will it be squashed by the time they're done that meeting next week? Now, this will be going on a week. All of this because I believe what the president said, that they acted stupidly as far as the police force in Cambridge over the arrest of the professor stemming from that break-in. That's what really lit the fuse on this sucker. And like I said, it hasn't died down. Of course, we start with controversy. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Certainly, that's not the only thing on our minds. We're going to talk about the seven nutballs in Raleigh, North Carolina. If you haven't heard, some jihadists, always pay attention when they say it's fear-mongering. Oh, really, there's not sleeper cells among us. That's not true. Sometimes homegrown, sometimes people who assimilate within our culture who come from another land. We know this by things that have happened in the past. The key is to stop whatever it is dead in its tracks before it becomes a disaster for anybody in the United States. Nobody wants to relive another September 11th, 2001. Michael Vick back in the NFL, although there's a little catch to his coming back. Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, I applaud him for being tough on people who screw up. Unlike some of the other commissioners in sports who give a slap on the wrist when they need to give a real swift kick in the rear end to some of these spoiled, pampered athletes, right? So we got that for you coming up round the bend. Healthcare. Oh, yeah, let's not forget about that. Are we going to have healthcare across the board for every American? There is no opting out. If it becomes a law, you have to have healthcare and have a copay or whatever it is. Because if you don't, you'd be fined for not being part of the program. The idea is that it'll be so attractive that nobody would even think of wanting, no individual would even think of wanting to do that anyway. But at what cost? We keep coming back to the money thing. Apparently, the public health option is off the board in its current form. What else is off the board? Plus, in order to pay for it now, 10% tax on cosmetic surgeries. Ladies that are fond of Botox, you could be paying more to get that shot on the top of your brow that will make you not frown anymore. I know very little about cosmetic surgery, but we have all seen the Botox commercials, and I think we know that pretty much the idea is the lines in the forehead go away. But what about the other surgeries, the facelifts, etc.? Will that really fly in the cosmetic or the plastic surgery category in the United States? It'll have to. It goes along with the, okay, if you have the disposable income, you're going to have to pay for it and tax the rich to pay for health care for everybody across the board. So we'll dive into that as well. But let's start with a blunder from Biden. Imagine, have we ever said that before on this show? I could probably go back into the archives and re-rack what I've said, and I'm going to say, since he's been vice president, four times at least we've talked about something that he said. Here's the latest one. Happened over the weekend. This is a quote, and this is Biden. And he's talking about the Russians. They have a shrinking population base. They have a withering economy. They have a banking sector and structure that is not likely to be able to withstand the next 15 years. This was part of an interview that was published over the weekend in the Wall Street Journal, the interview, of course, with the VP, Joe Biden. So this time Obama wasn't trotted out to soften his words. This time it was the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, and here was her response when she was asked about it on Meet the Press on Sunday.
No, and I don't think that's at all what the vice president meant. There are certain issues that Russia has to deal with on its own. And we want to make clear that as we reset our relationship, we are very clearly not saying that Russia can have a 21st century sphere of influence in Eastern Europe.
All right. So that clears that up. Did that clear that up for all of you? Also coming up, we're going to talk about Sarah Palin. She stepped aside officially on Sunday. Now the debate has been over whether or not Palin is eyeing a presidential run for the GOP coming up in the next 3 years. She would start doing that, obviously, now in the next year or two. We know for sure one thing that's going to happen, she's speaking at the Reagan Library. That's going to happen in a couple of weeks. There is a book deal, and, of course, there are other speaking engagements that are starting to pile up around the country. Somebody posed a good question. It was somebody on CNN, and the question was, and we've talked about this on the show, has Palin been treated unfairly? Has she been treated unfairly by the media? Has a lot of what's happened to Sarah Palin been media-driven, starting with the fact that she came out of nowhere, was trotted out, boom, thrown into the national spotlight, and then had to swim and had to catch up on what was happening politically. Even Obama himself said that he prepped for 4 months knowing what the issues were, his stance on the issues, previous things that have happened domestically and foreign affairs and everything in between. So there wasn't much prep time, we know that, for Palin. But has she really been somebody who's been hammered on much, much too hard, and has the fight been unfair? I think if you pose it to Sarah Palin, I mean, she certainly has said that about the media. But this lady's tough, and whether you like her or you don't like her or you really have no opinion, you have to say that she's somebody I think that can shoulder whatever it is that's coming her way. There have been all these ethics investigations, and so far all of them have fallen by the wayside, but you have to pay for those, which means that you have to have a lawyer and pay for that defense and shoot those things down in when they investigate the various so-called violations. And so far, nothing, like I said, nothing has stuck. So I think you're going to see a lot more of Sarah Palin, whether or not she ultimately does try to go for the presidency and has a real shot at it, because a lot can happen in the next couple of years. Who knows? But has she been treated fairly? I'm going to say in some cases, no, because it was easy to pile on. You know, that's what happens. A lot of people in the media are like lemmings, and they just follow along, and they don't have their own thought. Of course, it depends. Are you reporting the news? Are you opinion-based? Are you television versus radio versus newspaper versus blogging? And the advent of blogging has changed things, too. The social networking, of course. But I think in some cases, you know, in some cases, I think that she has been ripped apart and for stupid things. There were things that certainly she could have been criticized for, but there were things that were thrown out there that were just, it was just piling on. And I think that also made Sarah Palin more popular, so it didn't work. If the idea was to thrash her and make her look stupid and make her look like she had no clue what was going on, in some ways it did not play. It did not work because she's showing up in polls all over the place. 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791, Kate Delaney, America Tonight.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit purebulk.com. That's purebulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future.
Sure.
Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Talking about, among other things, Sarah Palin. She stepped away yesterday, and I think showing up in the poll shows that there are people that are supportive of her. As I said, she might not be the candidate. It might be that she's missing some things that she'll need to run, or maybe not. Because let's face it, it is a popularity contest to get that nomination. You have to be vetted out. I'll call it vetting out. But if you have the stuff to beat the other guys, I don't care what party you're in, Democrats or Republicans, you're going to get elevated, and at least you're going to be there. So does she even want to be there? She's kind of evaded that question recently as she's saying goodbye to being the governor. Took a lot of shellacking for stepping aside, leaving the governor's mansion behind. She had kind of an erratic press conference a week or so ago, or 2 weeks ago. No, longer than that. It was 4th of July weekend, where the reasons for stepping aside, some of them were financial because of the money she has to pay for fighting off the ethics charges, and some of them were family-related. And she felt, in a nutshell, what she said was the people of Alaska were better off with her not being in that position. But what does that say for her politically? What does that do to her politically? In other words, will people count that against her? How much does it hurt that she stepped away from that office and handed it over to the lieutenant governor? Here's what Bill Maher, who of course is absolutely on the left, but has certainly some followers and has a show with a voice on HBO. Here's what he had to say. He was on, I think, CNN on the Situation Room earlier in the day, and I happened to catch that. Here's a little bit of what he had to say about Sarah Palin and specifically some comments that she made about Hollywood.
You're going to see anti-hunting, anti-Second Amendment circuses from Hollywood. And here's how they do it. They use these delicate, tiny, very talented celebrity starlets. They use Alaska as a fundraising tool for their anti-Second Amendment causes.
First of all, I want to know, who is this tiny starlet she's talking about? But, you know, I mean, when you think of tiny starlets, I think of Ashley Olsen. I just want to know who she's talking about. Second of all, I think it's a little ungrateful. Who has been better to guns than Hollywood? Hollywood does nothing but make movies with a million guns killing people and blowing everything up. So she should reconsider her remarks. I don't know about a presidential candidate, but I would never put anything past this stupid country. Possibly. I think she certainly could get the nomination, considering what the Republican Party has become and where they are right now. I think she still has a high favorability rating, but it's always going down. The more people see her, the less they usually like her. I think she's probably too much of a loose cannon, which is something she also shoots wolves with, by the way, to run for president. You have to be pretty disciplined to run a national campaign over months and months and months. And she just doesn't seem to have that in her DNA, as she would say. You know, this speech she just gave was another rambling sort of non-address. You'd think after the last one and all the criticism it got, she would have said to whatever handlers or people she has around her, okay, let's do this speech now like a laser. Let's just get it right down and focus. This is my last shot. But no, it's another rambling attack on tiny starlets. I mean, she's the gift that keeps on giving to comedians, I'll tell you that.
All right, so that was Bill Maher. 800-259-5791. I got a couple of emails on this, and I'll hit those in a few seconds with some thoughts. He makes one good point in that. I don't agree with everything that Maher said on Palin, except for I definitely think she would have a shot right now if it were today. Where she'll be in 3 years, or where the country will be in 3 years, or who are the other people that are out there in 3 years, don't know. Because a lot of times somebody comes out of the woodwork. I mean, even if you look at the Democrats, Hillary Clinton certainly was somebody who was going to run. Everybody knew that. But not necessarily Barack Obama. The thought was he might be the next time around, but sure enough, boom, he was in there. And then the usuals were trotted out. Joe Biden, Chris Dodd, John Edwards was in the fray. So in that case, I don't think it was a surprise. For the GOP, McCain, who thought McCain? I thought Romney originally was going to be the guy. But then the Mormon talk started to kill Romney's chances because people were too afraid of what does that mean and, you know, what's the Mormon religion and, you know, et cetera, that he wasn't mainstream enough. And then all of a sudden McCain's fortunes changed and he became the guy. So we don't know where we're going to be. That's the number one thing. But taking a shot, pardon the pun, in the dark, she would definitely at this point have a definite chance. But notice how Bill Maher threw in, well, the country's stupid, saying that, hey, Palin's stupid, but there's stupid people that will vote for her. Do you think that? Do you think Palin's stupid and stupid people will vote for Palin? There's something to think about. 800-259-5791. But the one thing that he said is right. She'd have to be more focused on specific things and have, it comes down to that again. It's just like we're seeing the bumblings of Obama through who he has or some of the people he has around him. Not just what's happening on his own, but some of the people around him. If she can deliver it, if she can deliver the specifics, if she can go through foreign events, foreign affairs, and certainly what's happening in our own country, and know the direction, know specifically what her candidacy would be about, and have some really strong speeches. Yeah, then she would. I think that's part of the problem too. She should have gone out. He's right. That's the one thing I agree with. She could have gone out on a much stronger note. We'll see. It's an interesting storyline, though. All right, AmericaTonight.net. I haven't really dove into the emails lately, so I want to make sure that I do that. I appreciate all the emails I got last week, and again, already we're starting to click them up this week. Some of them were on the president, the policeman, and the professor, and some of them have been on Palin, because we were talking about Palin as well on our last show, and we played little snippets from her final farewell. Here's what I got. Jeff listening to us in Illinois. Hi, Kate. Listen to the show. Love it. I especially like the dungeon. I hope he was listening tonight. Then he would have heard the dungeon moment for all the texters out there who are driving and trying to text at the same time. Anyway, goes on to say, Sarah Palin. You played a clip of Sarah Palin. She seems to me like she's not going to run for any office. I think you're right. The information that you got about Palin being offered some things in the media, I believe she'll end up on Fox or somewhere else talking to people and giving speeches. I don't think she goes back into politics. I don't think she, frankly, wants to. All right. And that could be. Does she, given that 15-minute thing, and when you're in the spotlight and when you know you have attention and when you know whatever it is that you're talking about or you can get across, et cetera, no matter what field you're in, then you grab it. So maybe that is the course. I had said the rumor where I had heard that she was talked to by Fox. All right, here's another one. This one's from Big Will. Big Will says, Sarah Palin is awesome, Kate. You know why I like her? She might not be politically correct. She might not be a skilled politician and lacks some of that Washington polish. But I truly think whether she's fumbling or whether she makes sense, that you really get the real Sarah Palin. And what a refreshing difference that makes. All right, that's just a couple from Sarah Palin conversation that we had continuing from yesterday. Like I said, the curiosity factor, where does she go from here? She has that thing. She has that intrigue that people are interested in, and I think her name stays out there and floats out there. It's just a question of, does she really grab the media deal and end up in some form of media herself, or is it really strictly through speaking and the book? I think the book sells. Let's put it this way. Nancy Pelosi did a book. Hardly anyone bought it. I can't remember how many copies there were, but I guarantee they didn't have a second printing. I was shocked at how little books, frankly, the Speaker of the House sold. Maybe I shouldn't have been shocked, but not very many. In the case of Sarah Palin, I think they're going to have a couple runs on that book once it comes out. Whether she turns that popularity into a run for president, yeah, who knows? Coming up on the flip side, we haven't hit odds and ends, and we're about to do that.
I'm still completely confused.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com, or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
You're listening to GCS, Genesis Communication Radio Network.
If the current state of the economy is severely impacting your life, this might be some of the most important information you will ever hear. As the economy continues to spiral out of control, many people, just like you, wonder how they will support their family and pay their bills. The government is not going to help out the people who desperately need it. It's time for you to look outside the box and change your life. If you're tired of the get-rich-quick schemes, if you're tired of living paycheck to paycheck, if you're tired of being tired, you need to pick up Robert Beadle's new book, and it's called Here's What You Do. Yes, Here's What You Do. This 72-page book will show you what you need to do to make the best of an economy that's in the middle of a recession. And the best part? This revolutionary book is priced under $10 and is only $6 for the ebook. Here's What You Do to get Here's What You Do. Visit hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. hereswhatyoudo.net and start changing your life today.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi, summer's coming and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
If you currently owe back taxes to the IRS or state, this special announcement is for you. Tax authorities are now accepting settlements, and you can resolve your tax debt for a fraction of what you owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, now is the time to act before it's too late. We're the Rely On Group, and our tax resolution experts are here to help you right now. Many of our tax experts are former IRS agents. They know how to legally and permanently resolve your tax problems and make sure you don't pay a dime more than you have to. Call now to immediately remove tax liens, eliminate tax penalties, and end wage garnishments. If you owe back taxes to the IRS or state, call us for free information about how you can legally settle your tax liabilities and save thousands of dollars. Call now. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944.
No one knows what it's like to be the best. Sad man behind blue eyes, and no one knows.
And Michael Vick was certainly the bad man when it came to dog fighting. This is America Tonight. Kate Delaney hanging with you, steering the ship from left to right and everywhere in between. There was nowhere for Michael Vick to go but prison. Anything with dogs especially, but some of the horrific things that were happening in that dog fighting ring, you knew it was inevitable. So this is what the deal is. Apparently, he can participate in practices, workouts, and meetings. And he's also going to be able to play in the final two preseason games, right? If you remember, he pled guilty. This is 2 years after he pled guilty to the federal charge of bankrolling what amounted to a pretty widespread dogfighting operation through a few states anyway at a house that he owned in Virginia. So he's reinstated to the NFL on what they're calling a conditional basis. Here is what the commish, Roger Goodell, said about Vic and the conditions.
We went through his records, his court records. We went through evaluations. We went through decisions. We know all the terms of his parole. We went through every detail, and including about a 4.5-hour meeting with Michael last Wednesday here in the New York area. So we take this as a very serious matter. We're dealing with a young man's life, and our process was similarly reflective of the seriousness of that. As you know, he can sign now with an NFL team. He can practice without delay with an NFL team. He may play in the final two preseason games of this preseason. And once the regular season starts, he can practice if the team so chooses. And I will decide within the first 6 weeks of the regular season, whether he will be reinstated to play from there. He has been very open and fully cooperative, as well as his advisors and his counselors. I will say that one of the most important things that we talked about is that nobody gets through life alone, that you always have to have a mentor, you always have somebody who's going to give you guidance, support at critical moments. Michael needs that right now, and I've asked Tony Dungy to play a more formal role on my behalf, but also on Michael's behalf, to serve as a mentor to Michael and help him and guide him through some very difficult decisions he's going to have to make going forward. I do not expect he'll be his only mentor, but Tony will be a big part of determining who else will serve as advisors to him. But I know Tony and Michael, who I spoke with earlier today in our conference call, both take it very seriously and are committed to making sure that they work closely together to make better decisions going forward. I do believe that this transitional approach that we've outlined for Michael is the best thing for him, that it will have the best opportunity to lead to a success for a young man who has his life ahead of him. Whether he makes it on the field for the NFL is something that will be determined on the field, but he has some big decisions off the field to make in the way he conducts himself. I think he is at a point right now where he is prepared to make those decisions and hopefully conduct himself in a more positive way. I have said repeatedly and many times before that playing in the NFL is a privilege. We are held to a higher standard, and it is not a right to be an NFL player. I think Michael clearly understands that and his responsibility, and I think it's his opportunity now to earn the opportunity to get that privilege back again, and that's up to Michael. One final point before
right,
I take your
so
questions.
You get the idea there with what Roger Goodell is saying. I wanted you to hear a little bit of that. That's why I like Goodell, and I like the way he's handled a lot of the situations, including this one. So Michael Vick played for the Atlanta Falcons. He's a free agent. He hasn't been signed by any other team. That's not a surprise. When it comes to week six in the NFL, the decision's made. Can he move forward if he were to be signed by another team? Could he play? But he can practice and all that other sort of stuff. So then the question becomes, should Vic get a second chance? And I think the answer is absolutely. Will he get a second chance as far as the NFL is concerned? You know, who knows? Hey, when he played for the Falcons, he certainly had an arm. There was no question about that. And there are teams that I think normally, without the whole dogfighting thing and the couple of years away, would have been interested in Vic. Would they still be interested in him? That remains to be seen. I think he's going to get that. I think he's going to get a second chance as a backup guy, probably somewhere. If not, he'll play in another league. I mean, here's the deal. Are we a forgiving country? Did he screw up big time? Was it just sad and sick when you read what happened to the dogs? You know, of course. But he did do time. He was in prison. He did a couple of months under house arrest, 23 months to be exact. He had to pay back a bunch of monies. He obviously did that as well. So purely on the basis of does this guy, you know, should he get a second chance, I would say yes. He's already served. He's already done everything. You know, he was convicted where other people in the past haven't had as much thrown at them. Other people in the past, for other things more heinous even, haven't had as much thrown at them. So he did it. He did the time, and he was released. He's got to serve 3 years of probation. And I'm sure he'll do that and not do anything to get himself in trouble. I can't imagine. Now he's got this mentor and a great guy in Tony Dungy. So I think he should get that second chance. Absolutely. And here's a guy, how far can you fall? I don't feel sorry for him because he had everything. I mean, he had a great life. You're an NFL quarterback making millions upon millions of dollars. What are you doing in this dogfighting mess? Well, now it's gotten so bad for him, of course, because of the lawyer fees and money he owed and all this other stuff. He's had to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. He had He told the judge at that hearing that he earned 12 cents an hour as an overnight janitor when he was in prison. Yeah. And he admitted to lying about being involved in dogfighting. He apologized for that and all that other sort of stuff. The Humane Society has even stepped in, and they say that Vic has offered to work with them on anti-dogfighting campaigns, and I'm sure he's going to do that. And as somebody who had a big name, and this was a huge case, he could have some sort of an impact. I mean, it was heinous. There's no question what he did. Yeah, absolutely. But I think he should get the second chance. You know, how much can he kick a guy? I think that he did what he had to do, and we'll see. We'll see if somebody gives it to him. Because in the case of the NFL, is someone going to take that chance? They're going to say, the 2 years away, he has to get his timing back and everything else. But I think he could. Like I said, he still has a good arm. Still has a good arm. Hey, who knows? Maybe Minnesota. Brett Favre, who's playing the game of, should I retire? I can't decide. I'm trying to figure out about Minnesota. I've shown up there. Maybe they sign him. I don't think so. Because he has to end up as a backup, not the main guy. Because, first of all, he can't play in the beginning of the season anyway, if he could even play six games in. Wow.
It's not like the standards are really high in Minnesota anyway.
Yeah. Let's just let him in here. First of all, we just finally have our other senator in place in Al Franken after we dragged that out for 8 months. So when it comes to all things in Minnesota, you know, we're kind of on the fence about a few things. We'll let things go under the bridge. I think if it were the problem with Minnesota is that I think they're pinning everything on Brett Favre. So I no doubt Brett Favre is going to take that. I'll be stunned if Favre decides that he's just going to hang out in Mississippi and not come back to the NFL. But somebody would put him, I think, as a backup guy on their roster. I'd have to look at the rosters again and see who's made moves. But he'll get that timing back, and it looks like he's still in pretty decent shape. And image-wise, he's doing the things that you have to do, trying to work with the Humane Society, all that sort of stuff, that would make people embrace him again. And I think most people think, well, it was screwed up and ridiculous what happened, but he was in jail. I mean, he served jail time, and he came out of it and has this repentant attitude, but of course he would. I think he'll get the second chance, and he'll end up playing for somebody. I wonder what that'll be like, though, because NFL fans can be brutal, especially if they've had a few brews. You can bet somebody on the other side will have some dog nonsense, posters, whatever. I don't think he completely walks into a stadium and the opposition doesn't, you know, the fans anyway, don't pound him. But, you know, that's to be expected. I said this was odds and ends, and that was an odd ending, and that's why I brought it up. But we were talking about a couple other quick things. We were talking about Sarkozy yesterday, of course, the man leading France. He left the hospital after a health scare. They weren't sure what happened to him. He was jogging, and apparently he's okay. He just felt lightheaded, dizzy, so they wanted Sarkozy to be off his feet for a day. He did that, but he's okay. There's nothing that they can trace it to of any sort, any kind of a condition, just other than feeling faint. In the meantime, Saudi Arabia actually reported its first swine flu death. We are far from done when it comes to swine flu, and little cases are bubbling up all around the world. Remember, the vaccination is supposed to come out in the fall, and it's a question of who gets it and how much of that vaccination is available, and do you really want the vaccination when you saw what happened in the 70s? Hang with us. More to come on the tail end of this hour here of America Tonight.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too.
We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
It's a new year full of uncertainties. People are being laid off in record numbers. The price of food continues to rise, and the economy continues to falter. You know that you need to prepare. And maybe you've been putting it off, but the time to act is now. That's why you need to visit Organicaseed.com. At Organicaseed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Imagine growing your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to Organicaseed.com. That's Organicaseed.com. Organicaseed.com today.
On our last America tonight, one of our guests was talking about what happens when you die with your estate, whether you have a lot of money, a little bit of money, or whatever. And the reason that became part of the conversation on these airwaves was because of Michael Jackson and the headlines that continue to roll out, toxicology reports, and then the other thing was the custody and who handles the estate and who gets the money. It's always about who gets the money, isn't it? It just seems so, it turns families into just nasty, nasty people. It turns, normally some decent families, it breaks apart the core of the family sometimes when you have an inheritance issue, whether it's simple, like a house that's paid for, whether it's just a modest house or some gigantic mansion. Whatever is left behind, and too often people don't do anything with their wills. I'm going to tell you what happened with Farrah Fawcett's stuff, and that's why I bring this up, but he made some great points for anybody to pay attention to so that you don't end up in that situation. And speaking of what's left behind, sadly, continuing down that same road, remember that plane that we talked about here in America Tonight that crashed back in February during the approach to Buffalo? Well, the co-pilot of the plane apparently was considering backing out of the flight because she didn't feel well. Now, that's that, boy, that's that intuition thing that kicks in, but she didn't follow it. What she did instead was she lived in Seattle, and she, if she had decided not to be on the flight to Buffalo, she would have had to pay for a hotel room. She was making hardly anything. So that played a part in her decision to stay on Colgan Flight 3407. And what happened was during the, of course, instrument approach to the airport there, the Buffalo Niagara Airport, the four crew members and all 45 passengers died. There was also one person who was killed on the ground. So anyway, the transcript is released fully, and it shows on the transcript from the black box that they got, you've got these sneezes and sniffles and all that stuff during the flight. And it doesn't really provide anything that goes into the probable cause of the accident, although they say that her name was Rebecca Shaw. She pulled an all-nighter before she got on the plane. After 3 days off, she commuted from the night from Seattle, caught rides on FedEx flights to get to Newark, because that plane was coming from Newark, New Jersey, to Buffalo. The other pilot on the flight, the captain, Captain Marvin Renslow, had about a full day off before, but they found out that he slept in the Newark Airport crew lounge because he was so tired, and that's against that airline's regulations. So go figure. Awful for the people on board that that happened, that the training wasn't correct, that the way the plane went down could have maybe been prevented. And it's, you know, one of those things that if the pressure was too much, what would have happened if she had called out the next day, who knows? I mean, the flight crashing isn't directly related to her, but then these things start to add up. You have two tired pilots. You have a scary moment. You have the equipment that they don't know how to operate correctly, and that just spells disaster, sadly, all the way around. We move from that to the seven in North Carolina who are facing these terrorism charges. If you haven't heard this, it's suddenly just bubbled up, and it was an investigation the FBI was doing. And what's happened is you had a man who's accused of going to several training camps in both Pakistan and Afghanistan, and he was definitely practiced. All seven of the people involved in this were practicing military tactics. So were there direct threats to the United States, to individuals or property or anything like that? Not exactly. But the feds are saying there's no question that these were people that were able to carry out violent jihad. The man's name was Daniel Patrick Boyd. He had a different name. He went by Suflafa, and he was charged along with his two sons in this case. And there are four others in North Carolina, so seven altogether. And what they're specifically accused of is engaging in weapons training and military tactics in their home state of North Carolina. So you just never know who's living near you, right? Somebody made this point the other night. It was Mark in New York. You don't know your neighbor. People don't know their neighbors. Just like the woman with the 911 call, that was his point. As to the Harvard professor, she thought someone was breaking in and it was him trying to get into his house because, of course, nobody knows anyone anymore. Well, here they are in a great place just right outside of Raleigh, walking dogs, having a business, and completely blending in, but yet try to pull off a big attack in Israel. And there were references to other attacks that they were trying to have happen. A lot of them seem to point to overseas, and it certainly shows in the evidence they have that he'd conspired with other people to recruit and help young guys carry out some of these orders. And it just points to the fact that terrorists and supporters just are not off in some never-never land somewhere else, somewhere in the Middle East. Certainly, they can be right here in your own backyard. So they did make an appearance in federal court in North Carolina, and they're supposed to go to court later this week for detention hearings. We'll see what some of the specific things they are charged with. But they had them. The feds had them. They were surveilling them. And thus the need to watch what's happening in our own backyard. It's just like what we saw that happened in New Jersey. And people say, well, you know, this guy worked at Best Buy. He's just the greatest guy. And we knew him. And he used to deliver pizza. And in this case, so we had a drywall business. And, you know, there they were. You saw them. They waved to you. But who knew what was lurking beneath the surface? And so many times there was the call for, well, you know, the whole wiretapping thing. Do I think that every citizen should be wiretapped? Certainly not. Do I think that when you have hard evidence that something's going on, it's connected to a mosque, which they were, then they bailed out of the mosque and they held their own services. You know, when you start to have the evidence that mounts, for goodness sake, you got to be able to string it together before something disastrous happens. All right, I said I would tell you about Farrah Fawcett. She didn't leave anything to Ryan O'Neill. How about that? Because in her final days, he was her companion for however long. You constantly saw them together. But what she did was she left it to her son in her will that she updated in 2007. She left $6 million, that was her estate, in a trust fund for her 24-year-old son. His name's Redmond. He's had awful battles with drug addiction and alcohol addictions, and he's in prison or jail right now in Los Angeles on a drug-related charge. But when he's released, he gets a monthly allowance from that fund, as well as some money to buy a home. So, you know, what her wish was that he would be able to overcome those addictions. And, man, it's been just like with Michael Jackson, June 25th, the same day. There weren't very many questions surrounding her death because, of course, she had cancer that spread all over the place, spread to her liver, etc. But there were questions in what about this and where's the funeral and how she remembered and all that sort of stuff. And another interesting side note is she left some money to the University of Texas. That was her alma mater. So she also threw that in the will as well. I got some emails about the inheritance segment that we had, and that's why I saved that for last. Here's one from Jake, and Jake says, hey, Kate, great segment on the will. I was wondering, do you even have a will? And you were mentioning that it's just something people don't discuss. And, you know, it's funny that I just started that process. I mentioned something, this is probably what he's referring to, what did I have of value to leave someone? And I have a nephew that I'm really close to. He's 8 years old, just turned 8 years old. And I have sports memorabilia stuff that I would certainly leave to him. He could choose to sell it or whatever, but I think he probably would keep some of it for sentimental reasons. But I never really thought about it until I started to look more into, well, what happens if something suddenly goes wrong? You have a heart attack or whatever. Well, of course, the state takes your stuff and then it has to be divvied out after that. Even bank accounts, even if you only have a couple $1,000 in your bank account, ultimately your family can't get that until it's all processed. Just something to think about, not to be morbid, right? It's the reality we face. Death and taxes.